Okay, we're going to go over this. The meaning of baptism. Basically, I think this is important for everybody to know. If you're going to be baptized, that way you understand what's the whole purpose behind it. And so I want to give you these scripture, talk to you a little bit about it so you're prepared for what you're about to take part in. And we'll just show you in the scripture. I can't pull out all the scripture just because it would be quite a length of talking, but I'll give you quite a bit of them. So I put them in a slide formation. That way you can have them and you can go back over them. And also we're going to record this. If you want to get the recording, you could go ahead and listen to it, okay? So let's get started. First, I want to say it's good to have everyone here that you want to make that commitment to be baptized. It's important. And we're excited about what's happening in your life, and we're just so thankful for it. And there'll be others that will make more announcements, and others will see that how important it is for baptism. First of all, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through 22. We'll look at that in the scripture, and it says this: Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. And this is important to understand, because once you make a commitment in Christ, I want you to know that it's not going to just be a short relationship. He's thinking for forever. So think about that relationship. He said this, verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense for everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So as a believer, we have to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks to give an account of the hope that is in you. Because this is serious business. And you have to understand, in Jesus' day when they were baptized, this was serious business because they did all their baptisms publicly. So the everybody seen, okay, they're identifying themselves with this religious sect. And that's what you're doing. You're making that identification. So you have to be willing to do that. Yet you have to do it when you make your... When you tell somebody, this is who I am, you do it with gentleness and reverence. 16, and keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Now, there'll be some that'll say, you don't need to be baptized. You don't need to get that much involved in the church. That's just going to be the way it is. Because you're making your you're saying, I'm identifying. I am making my identification with the saints. And you feel that. You feel that in your heart. You feel that it's time. It's time for me to make that decision. Verse 17, for it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. And that's important. So you're saying in baptism, you're all in, no matter what. You're saying, I'm in with him, no matter what my future holds in Christ, I'm willing to take that stand. And I'm going to show you how important that is, because we're still reading in the context of verses here. It says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, and the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. Now, who did he die for? Look at that. Now, you look at that, because we don't mind getting involved in this if we know that it's going to be a positive outcome. But Christ died for who? You think about that. Now, that's something. Now, he died once for all. He's only going to do that one time. But the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So we see Christ unstained, no sin, died for the unjust. We have to be willing in our baptism to take that type of stand, that we're willing to stand for God no matter what we're faced with. And no matter what is required of us, even unto death, we're willing to do that. That's what you're saying in the baptism. Verse 19, in which also, who are we talking about now? We have already, for we start in verse 18, we start with what? For Christ, in which also he, who are we still talking about? Christ is the he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. Now, what does that bring me back to? That takes me back to Genesis 6, what we've been dealing with. Genesis 6, he made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of who? Noah. That's Genesis 6. So you think about baptism and how everything's interconnected and interlocked. Well, here you go. This is all connected. Everything has a purpose and a plan. So God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Well, how they were brought safely? Through what? The water. Now here's where the baptism comes in. So we have a type of what went on in the Old Testament, talking about the days of Noah. Now, they was willing to follow the commands of God, which was to build the ark and then get in the ark. Nobody else wanted to do it. So what Jesus did, he visited the spirits in prison, which were those disembodied spirits from the Rephaim, who were locked in chains. They were locked in. So you have the watchers, or the Nephilim, who they're chained up until the day of judgment, until they're going to be judged for whatever. And they could be the ones that talks about being released in Revelations when he says he opens up the bottomless pit and all these demonic influences come out in the end days. But one thing's for certain, what we need to recognize is Jesus visited those spirits to let them know, to make proclamation, you lose. But who wins? It says here, which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through what? Water. Water. That's a representation of the baptism, being baptized. Corresponding to that baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. So get that. We got to make sure you're clear on that. So when I say the water corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Now remember, we're going to clear that up. We got to make sure you understand that. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. So because he was resurrected, now we have access to being baptized in water. So we first accept Christ, and I'll go over all of those verses with you, and then we have our baptism. Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities? Get this is so important. Angels and authorities and powers have been subject to him. That is absolutely incredible. He went to heaven after he had angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. And that's important. So I want you to grab hold to this and understand the importance of this and the value of what is happening here. Now, that's the beginning or the introductory scriptures. Now we're going to start with the lesson. so you could see scripturally how foundational this is for water baptism. Okay? Now, is everybody in this section going to be baptized tonight? Who all is going to be baptized? Let me get a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. All right, we got 14. And some of you may want to be baptized after you hear the whole lesson. That's fine. We're going to keep doing it until we make sure everybody is absolutely secured in the body of Christ. We don't want anybody to not be secured in the body of Christ, especially as we approach in the end times, right? We want you secure. So let's look at it. Water baptism. First scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. That's what Paul said. Christ died for our sins. According to the what? Scripture. And he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to Scripture. And that's important, because what we're going to do in baptism is basically follow Christ in every step that he took. And I'm going to show you how all of these things are linked together. Romans 10, verse 9 through 11 says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I mean, you see that? Verse 10. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. So these are important principles. Now, before you're baptized in the water, these conditions all have to be met. And they're met personally between you and God. And so what I'm going to do is we're just going to go right over them again and have everybody pray. And then we'll continue on with the service tonight for the baptism. But I want you to be well informed, because I've seen folks not as informed as they should have been. And they got baptized off emotions. They just had emotions one night and everybody said, you saved. They had no renewal of the heart whatsoever, and it takes a renewal of the heart. And how you receive that is by faith. It's not chill bumps. You may very well have some, but that's not an indicator. The indicator is you said it with your own mouth, confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus. That's good enough. I can't say that if you say you confess to the Lord, that's good enough for me. But we've seen times where folks were baptized, they didn't no confession whatsoever. And see, crying is not a confession. This has literally got to happen. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So that's a standard practice. You're saying, I'm going on his side. I'm joining his team. Now, you know, if you're picking teams and you want to be on a team and somebody picks you, you can't just go the opposite way. You're actually going to join that team, practice with that team, help that team. Aren't you going to do all those things if you're a part of that team? That's the same thing in God. When you join with him, you're going to have to stay connected to him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says this. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Where's the Father? In heaven. Where was Jesus when he said this? He was on earth. That's so simple to me. When I read that kind of stuff, I don't know how. That's as simple as they get. Jesus was on the earth. The Father was in heaven. And he said, I'm going to confess you before the Father. Now, that's important. Because let me tell you, we need to have Jesus speaking on our behalf. And this is important for all of you to know that. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 through 37. It says this, as they went along the road, they came to some water. Where'd they come to? Some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? It's a great question. So we have the water, right? We have water. Now, what prevents me from being baptized? Now, this is what he said. This is what has to happen. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. That's a condition. Everyone here, no matter how young you are, you have to believe with all your heart. Yeah, what do you got to believe? Well, you have to believe that, and you may. And he answered and said, I believe, this is what he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that incredible? So that don't exclude anybody here. Anybody here who wants to be baptized in water has to do what? Believe with all your heart. That to me is incredible. And then what do you have to believe? You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you have to believe. Unequivocally, it can't be any conjecture there. It has to, you believe it. You say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you do believe that, then there's nothing that prevents you from being baptized. Amen? How many excited about that? Do you believe with all your heart that Yeshua HaMashiach, and that's the Old Testament pronunciation. So if we kept it in its Old Testament, how Jesus would be spoken of, it would be Yeshua HaMashiach. And that simply means Jesus, the Messiah, or we could call him that be the Messiah, but in Greek we'd say Jesus, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. So if we say it in the Old Testament, this is how Philip would have been told, do you believe in Yeshua HaMashiach? And he had to say, absolutely. And the same thing, so I want everybody informed, that way we understand that we have to believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. That's important, very important that we grab hold to that. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. Says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Here's something that I underline, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Remember that. So what is that? How many see what that's about? That means this, it's not of works, so nobody can boast, because some people may not be as fortunate as others. And God doesn't want anybody to think that if they have more, they can obtain more as far as a relationship to God. Listen, when we travel in different parts of the world, there's people who are in poverty. Well, those folks don't have anything, but they have the same opportunity to be saved as people who live in America, who have a lot of things. That doesn't matter how much you have. Because you can't buy a relationship with God. You can't have a relationship with God through association. What does that mean? That means just because you go to church with somebody, that does not give you a relationship. Just because you attend a church doesn't give you a relationship. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all your heart. That's what gives you the relationship. And then what are you accepting it? For by grace, what is the grace of God? Remember we talked about this so many times. God's grace is God loving me. He's loving me. Now, what's my response? My love toward God is me being obedient to God. I want to obey God's commands and the things that he tells me. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. The book of Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds. Remember, it's not of works, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his what? Mercy. How many thank God for that? He saved us according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So that's important, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why I tell people you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, because he poured out that through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's, you have complete access to the power to be to have power over all the authority of the enemy. You have that through Jesus Christ, and that's important to understand. Next verse, Titus chapter 3, verse number 8. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. How many see that? See that part underlined? Those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. So this is important. Once you're baptized and you make an announcement, that's what you're doing. You're making an announcement to everybody that I've been baptized. You're going to do what? You're going to be those who believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. There's going to be a separation. These things are good and profitable for men. And that's important. So these are some commitments that you will make. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13 says this. Having been buried with him in what? Baptism. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead when you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And so understand, all of these things are what it is. Everything that baptism speaks of on the outside is a picture of what's going on the inside. It's not the opposite. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get saved to be baptized, because it's a picture. So what you can't see going on the inside, what's about to happen tonight, you're going to be able to feel it on the outside, what happened on the inside, and everybody else will get to experience it with you by watching that baptism. That's why they were done publicly. That's why people came out to do it. Now, I want you to understand that Philip, when he talked to the eunuch there, and he began to preach the gospel to him, he was teaching him some serious stuff on a quick pace, because they're traveling along the way as he's exhorting the scripture, because he had been reading, but he didn't understand it. So Philip got in there and began to explain it to him. All of a sudden, he said, there's the water. They must have been talking about baptism and what you could do after you're saved. He said, what can prevent me? He said, nothing if you believe with all your heart. See? And so these are important principles. Water baptism is an act of obedience that follows conversion, to portray symbolically the washing away of our sins. Right? Symbolically. I want you to understand that. Can this water wash your sins away? Remember, we talked about it's not the removal of the dirt. And he's speaking of that. It's not talking about removing your sins from the water. That's already happened through the blood of Jesus. But you didn't see that happen on the inside. So the outward of it is you being able to show it and to experience for yourself on a more of an outward appearance of, this is my confession. This is what I confess to be. So this is what he's talking about. A portrayal symbolically of the washing away of your sins, the death and burial of the old nature, and of us being born again as a new creature living in a new life in Christ. Baptism itself does not bring salvation. I want to emphasize that. Does not bring salvation. One must repent and be saved to be baptized. And I hope everybody here, you've already went through that. You've made your repent. You've repented. Said, Lord, I realize that I've sinned against you, but I do know this. I love you, and I know you love me, and I love you with all my heart. And I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and absolutely He's the Son of God. There'll not be another. He's the only one. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the Savior. He's the Messiah, and I thank Him for living in my life. Now what happens? You're going to go through a symbolic measure in baptism. You're going to say that I'm washing away the sins. That's hence the water. Going down in the water is the burial. Coming back out of the water is the resurrection. Everybody got that? It's very simple stuff. And I think it's an honor to be able to be baptized in the faith. Amen? In the way. It's called the way in the scripture. the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. So getting baptized in that is a mark. It signifies something, but it doesn't save you more. But it's actually he required, he says, be baptized. So you get saved, and he says, be baptized. And then we should do that. Amen? Romans 6, verse 2 through 7 says this. May it never be. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. That's what it signifies. All of that signifies that same thing. It's the same process that goes in your, what happened on the inside, it's going to be reflected in the water baptism. So I want you to understand that. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly, certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So as we take the baptism, we're going to be there, and you get into the baptismal pool, and you're going to be standing there. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about it. The old life is about to die. And you're saying it's now dead. I've accepted the new life in Christ. Then we're going to go through the steps. Then you're going to be buried because you bury the old. And when you come back up, it's going to be the resurrection or the new person. Now, it's symbolic and it will take place in real time, real life one day. That's what we've been talking about in the end time. Same thing's going to happen. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. You're about to experience it. And there's been many times where people have received the Holy Ghost. When they come up, you got to give yourself over to the Lord, because you're giving it all to him in the baptism. That's what you're saying. So I want you to be free. I want you to be open to that and let the Lord minister to your heart. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. Right? So what happened after they crucified Jesus? What'd they do with him? You buried. In order that our body of sin might be done away with. Do you notice that? So we get crucified for what? That our body of sin could be done what? Done away with. How do you do away with the bodies today? What do? We bury them. We don't leave them out. We bury them. So that, listen, and I don't mean to speak without any feeling here. I just want to bring a point out. It would be horrible if we had to leave our dead out among us, wouldn't it? You constantly would have to pass by, and if we left our dead out among us, that would be horrible. And you wouldn't want to do that, and after a while, what would happen? It would smell, wouldn't it? That's exactly what's going on in the church world today when you leave the old man out. It won't take long. It's going to start stinking. It's going to cause you problems. Won't it cause problems and to make life not as pleasurable? But if you bury it, what happens? Does it hurt? Does you feel that? You're going to feel that loss. There is a change happening. But eventually, you remember that. Old, but eventually that is not you no more. You notice that. When we bury the dead, we go on and we continue to live life. And not being insensitive to the people who died and being family members, I'm telling you that is exactly what we have to look at it as. The old nature is dead, it's buried. And you move on to a new and brand new life. And that's important. Very important. So I want you to see that it says that in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. Free from it. What does that mean? Because sin cannot reign or have control of your body anymore. Does that mean you won't sin? You probably will make a mistake. But when you make a mistake, you have an advocate with the Father. That advocate is who? Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, is the advocate with the Father. Now, before you were saved, you had no advocate. You had no prayer. I don't care how sweet you think you can type a prayer in and do those type of things. It doesn't matter. It sounds good, but you have no prayer. You ever heard the statement, you ain't got a prayer? You ever seen somebody when they're doing something and they're on the verge of a collapse and you say, what's the company? They ain't got a prayer. That's for real. They don't have one. Because until you come to Christ and he becomes the high priest who can present on your behalf, you have no access to the Father. You mean God doesn't hear me? Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. You can only have access to the Father through Christ Jesus. He's the only, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I know there's a lot of beliefs out there that believe that they can have some type of access to God through any means they want. It'll never happen, not according to Scripture. Look at this couple statements I have. Water baptism is a statement of faith. My old life is behind me. And this is something that everyone here needs to remember. I am a new person with a new life. All of you here. All of you here, you're a new person with a new life. And you got to embrace that. Be happy about it. We're excited for you. Because you're a new person with a new life. That's something to be excited about. Water baptism is a sign of repentance. Repentance means change. A change so drastic that the old person is buried and literally burned all your bridges to your past. Burn all your bridges to your past. So you're crossing this river on this bridge of life, and you get over here and you find Christ. You don't go back. There's nothing that can help you in behind you. Go forward in Christ. So this is what water baptism is a sign of. So you're going in, and now you're taking your identity. You're taking, and then you're assigned your assignment to continue to do what God wants you to do. The next thing here, water baptism is a way of giving outward testimony to what has happened inwardly. It's a way of giving outward testimony to what has happened inwardly. It is a clear commitment to turn from the old life. How many ready for that? Clear commitment. So I want you to be understanding that you're going to be required of some things of God because you're making this commitment. Just a few more here. This statement says, unless you really believe you have died, there is no need for a burial. What's the point in it? Unless you really believe you have died, there is no need for a burial. And that's what water baptism is. It's a burial. So what we're about, you know, and I'm sure everybody's been to them. Anybody's been to funerals when you're going to the graveside and everybody's, you know, you even have a different walk when you go. Because you want to be respectful, you want to be you want to be as soft and gentle as you can. Well, we're about to make that journey. We're going to all walk together, and you're going to line up. And when you get in there, listen, it's not a joke. It ain't nothing to be laughing about. Nobody's doing that when you. Everybody's sensitive, and that's what we ought to be. This is done. But the newness of life that comes with is absolutely incredible. And this, when you see it, so unless you've really died, there's no need to bury you. So how many want me to bury them tonight? That burial is important to God, and it's significant. And that's what was there a need to bury Jesus if he didn't die? You know, there's some religions teach that he really never died. Then what in the world we buried him for? I say he died, just like the Word says, and I say we buried him, and then he rose again. The first fruits. He was the first resurrected. And I'm so thankful that he did that for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. That's exciting to me. The old passed, the new things come. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And one more reading here, and this will wrap it up here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 says this: Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That to me is absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So, if you've been if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. Now, let me tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited because I could tell something's happening in the atmosphere of the church realm. I can't speak for everywhere, but I know on this peninsula, we're about to make a difference. Now, there's no reason why on this peninsula that we can't have people who love God and love being a part of God and not be ashamed of it. I believe the tide has turned. I believe that. And your expectations of what God has declared in the Word, you ought to get super, super excited about it. So set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And I think there's a sense of that changing because, you know, although we're here and we're going to be living here and doing everything we need to do every day, just like we've always did, until He returns. But our affections are on things above. How many's been thinking about it every day here lately? How many remember a time in your life where you didn't think about it until Sunday come along? You see, there's a difference. Something's happened in the atmosphere. And so we want to say to all of you here that are going to be baptized that I'm excited, super, super excited for you. Super excited. And if we're going to make announcements again next service. And we're going to announce those who have been baptized before but never been baptized under the right understanding. We're going to open up. We might be doing baptisms continuing until everybody feels like, okay, I now see what I'm supposed to do, and now I'm doing it the right way. We're going to make sure that we announce that. I am tickled that I have this many just because I said, look, we got to get this done. I talked with the guys. They worked very hard to get everything ready to go, to get the water put in. And we did it at just, I sent a text out and I said, tell everyone. And some of you may not receive the text. If you don't, you need to get on that list so you can receive the text messages so we can make announcements once the service is done. We can get in touch with everybody. But just to tell you this, I'm super excited for your decision. So this is not difficult. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in your heart, and believe that with all your heart, then you're ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You're ready to be baptized in His family. And that's something that I'm excited about for you. And so what we'll do, once we get a service started, we're going to come to a time where we'll get you up and we'll do one at a time and we'll baptize you. And how many? Now I want to go through this with you. So how many here want to let's go through this confession to make sure. And it doesn't matter if you've done it once, twice, 10 times or 100 times. It's always better to check and be sure. Amen. So let's make our confession together. Let's all stand, and we're going to make a confession in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen? Remember, there's no need for a burial unless there's been a death. And so we have to say that. We have to make sure that we make that declaration. So I want you to repeat after me this prayer, just helping you along, so we can all say it together. Say, Heavenly Father, I realize tonight that I have sinned against you. And I know in your word, through the gospel that Jesus Christ brought, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's my Savior. He's the Messiah. He died for me. And I want to say that I confess that Jesus is Lord. He's the Son of God. And he has saved me. I now am actively involved in living the life of faith through Christ Jesus. I realize today that by grace I'm saved through faith. And I want to say thank you, God, for giving me grace. I now want to confess that I will be buried in Christ through water baptism. From this day forth, the old man, the old nature, is going to die and buried. And I will raise again in the baptism to a new life in Jesus' name. I give you the glory, God, and all the honor. Amen. Praise God. God is good. So I want to just, again, thank you, all of you. So all the ones that's going to be baptized, when we start service, I'm going to ask that you would to sit on these rows over here on this end. That way we won't have to change rows. So during the course of us getting the service going, we're going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to move right into the baptism part of the service, okay? So you'll be sitting on these rows over here. So we'll get your stuff over there, and you can find your place. Thank you so much.